Episode 22 is brought to you by Grabo Tools. That's grabo.tools on Instagram. Thank you for sponsoring today's episode.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Maker Made Podcast, episode 22, and really excited to announce that we're joined by a very, very special guest with over 200,000 followers across all social media platforms, co-hosts his own popular podcast, and is an extremely skilled woodworker, and last but not least, the leader of the Snapback Maker Gang, Mr. Daniel Dunlap.
Maker Gang.
All right. Who paid you to say all those nice things about me, first of all?
Big Chemical was paying us.
Big Chemical? Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. All right.
I just came up with that all off the cuff, dude. Is that pretty nice?
That's very nice. Bravo. Love it. I expect more of that good off-the-cuff stuff.
Well, we'll keep it going. Well,
that's so, it. We used it all right there.
Is that it? We blew our load in the beginning. Oh, man.
But seriously, Dan, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. I know this was kind of last minute. I'm excited to have you here.
I'm glad you guys asked me to be on. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. And I think we would like to start off with kicking it your way. You know, you can kind of tell everyone who's listening what you're all about. I think most of our audience probably knows who you are, but let's see what you got.
Well, let me just be upfront and honest right off the bat. I am sponsored by Big Chemical. I bathe in Big Chemicals. I drink Big Chemicals for breakfast in my morning shake. I'm sorry. Well, I mean it's kind of a long convoluted story about how I got started in woodworking. If that's what you were asking about.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
let's do it.
I'm going to age myself. I'm an old guy. I graduated high school in 1997.
What?
Right out of, yeah, right?
I wasn't even born yet, Dan.
I was still pooping in diapers.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I graduated high school in 1997, and I started working in a furniture factory right out of high school. And, it's factory work, but I was still building stuff in a factory, which was kind of neat. And, you know, I did that for a couple years. Then I got a better job at a different woodworking place, a bigger manufacturing place. And I worked there until, 2011.
When
I quit my job and started working for myself as a photographer. So,
oh my gosh, I forgot you were a photographer.
Yes.
I've definitely seen you post about that. I completely forgot.
I was a photographer. I dabbled in photography and, I got tired of the grind of going to work for somebody else. And one day I just walked out and luckily I had the photography thing, on my side a little bit. I wasn't busy, but I was okay. My wife was super nervous. She was like, "You did what?" Like, I walked out of the job. That's fine, right? We have our insurance through your job. I'm like, oh, whoops. But luckily she's still married to me, so everything worked out. Photography, up until this day, I still kind of do it. I don't do weddings anymore. I've shot like somewhere in the neighborhood of 350 weddings. It's kind of ridiculous. Whew. I've had a lot of wedding cake and it shows.
Those are hard work though.
I mean, it really is. A lot of people think it's, it's just a party, but man, I'm exhausted. I usually take all of Sunday off and I just lay on the couch all Sunday, like after a wedding day on a Saturday.
I'm not even a wedding photographer and I do that.
I mean, I still do it and I hardly ever shoot weddings. I mean, it's what I do now. I started kind of getting back into woodworking because I finally had a garage that I could work out of in about 2016. And in 2017, I started the DDWW page just because, and I've heard a number of other people say this, like dozens, I swear, that they started a woodworking page because they didn't want to keep inundating their family and friends with their woodworking projects, and they wanted somewhere central to post it. And that's exactly what I did. I did that in 2017. And, the rest is history. I mean, now, as of this moment, because I'm a narcissist, I got like 91,000 something followers. It's ridiculous.
That's freaking awesome, man.
And then I build whatever anybody wants to have in their home. I'll, I'm a shill. You pay me to make it, I'll make it.
That's the way I always describe it too. And people ask me like, oh, like what do you make? Like literally anything wood that people pay me for.
Anything from a bottle opener to a grand 14-foot executive desk. Bring it on.
Yeah, you've done some sick builds, man. What was that was for a client. You did a solid walnut. It was more modern style desk. And was that the 14-foot one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was referencing. It was a 14-foot desk. It had shelves on either side, and it was solid walnut. It was it was a beast, and it took up, man, it took up like 6 or 7 months of my time.
Holy cow. This was a house I'm not the too.
I'm not the fastest build. Yeah, and I built it all in my garage, in my two-car garage.
In your two-car garage. Wow. Oh, Ty, you didn't tell me he was a garage woodworker. I didn't think we were doing garage woodworkers. I thought we were industrial shops only.
Oh, should I leave now or... Wow. No, I built that all in my garage. I built it modular, and then when I got the shelves done, words are hard. When I got those done, I moved them into the house, and they lived in my house for several months.
Okay,
and I remember that part. My wife is like, "When are you going to get this done? I'm tired of this being in our house." I'm like, I'm trying. So yeah, I built that in my garage.
Yeah, dude. Well, I think backtracking a bit, like I'm pretty sure that I've been following you since definitely 4-digit follower count. So it's been kind of cool that we've been kind of seeing you, because I don't like to say that I've blown up or Doggy's blown up, but we have considerable followings. And I think that all kind of started happening when Reels became popular. Is that fair to say for you as well?
Oh yeah, for sure. I really started seeing in immense growth right around COVID. And then I saw another uptick when Reels came out, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I remember, I want to say you were one of the first accounts that I saw get like a million plus view video or reel. And I think it was when you made that cabinet that was supposed to fit under your miter station. And the video was you trying to... It was you trying to fit it in, and he threw the pencil on the ground, and it was like 3 million views or something crazy. And I was like, damn, that's sick. I don't know what the timeline is for that, but I definitely recall that moment.
Can we pause so I can figure out what the hell my dog is barking at?
No problem.
What's his deal?
Hey! Go to your kennel.
You tell
him. Keep this in there.
Hey, bozo. Your kennel.
He's talking to you, doggy.
I know, right?
So I just Googled it, and it looks like Reels were kind of launched here in the US of A, at least, in late 2020. So that kind of lines up with you got some traction during when the pandemic first started, and then Reels kind of helped everybody blow up.
Yeah, and we also happened to start our podcast right before or around COVID. I think our first episode, we were talking about the pandemic and, you know, making jokes and being stupid bozos like we are, so...
That's right, because that was the first year of the pandemic was when you guys had your meetup in Stockton, California.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
The first year, year two, year one?
Yeah, it was August of 2020. We had a meetup in Stockton, California at the Macbeth Hardwood there.
That's the first time kind of all of us makers really met. That's the first time I met you, Doggy. I flew out to Monterey.
We had been best friends for like a year, and I hadn't met him. And then... I was going up to San Jose, which is like an hour from my house, to pick him up. And I'm talking to them. I'm talking on the phone.
Such a beautiful story.
She was like, "Have you met this guy before?" I was like, "No." And she's like, "And you're just like picking him up and hanging out all weekend, and he's at your house?" I was like, "Yeah, I think so." Like, that's the plan.
Just some dude I met on the internet. No big deal.
That's really what it was, though. But I mean, like, luckily we texted and talked and phone called, you know, for that whole year, you know, building up a good friendship, of course. And then, but it kind of was weird, you know, like I was flying out to meet this like internet friend that I had. I mean, we've talked about it on a bunch of episodes, but that's really the best way to describe it.
Do you remember when you were young and your parents were like, "Don't ever trust anybody on the internet. Don't give them your real name or tell them where you live." And here we are. "Hey, you want to come hang out with me? Drink some beer? I've never met you."
That's literally how it went. But that was really fun. I mean, we met a ton of makers at that meetup. I mean, the list is countless.
Yeah, there was, Rusty, old Rusty, who knows where he's at anymore. He told us there was like 180 people that came through that day.
Wow.
yeah,
that was cool. There's a lot of big name makers there.
A lot of people for, you know, being in the middle of a pandemic. So
in the middle nowhere, Stockton, right. California.
Right. Was California not, I mean, I don't remember there being like mask, like we didn't have to wear a mask.
There was no mask mandate at the time, but there was the 6-foot rule, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, weird time to be alive, man.
Right? Yeah.
But happy that happened nonetheless. But I think if you guys are down, I would love to step into kind of the meat and potatoes as to why we invited Mr. Daniel Dunlap onto this podcast.
Bring it.
So catch us up to speed, Dan. I mean, I know this is going to be a seriously long segment, but I do want to hear, because me and Doggy were chatting amongst ourselves, and we were like, maybe we should bring someone on to talk about this. And I was like, who better than the man himself, who was what was the word you used? The movement, the maker, the movement for all this.
I like to say that I'm just the vessel that everything is flowing through. Like, I feel like this is beyond me at this point. I'm just kind of like sharing everything.
Yeah, so it definitely got some serious reach, man. So kind of run us to the top. So it's whatever day of the week it is, and you make a post. I believe you're using Rubio in the video.
Here's the funny thing. I posted a video of me using Rubio, we'll say 2.5 weeks ago. That sounds about right, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a 2.5-week-old video, maybe 3-week-old video.
Oh, wow.
So it sat there just gaining traction. It's doing okay. It's at like 70,000 views or something like that. You know, it's doing okay.
Yeah, just okay.
2.5 weeks later, James, the owner, founder, CEO, I don't know what his real title is. I just know him as the owner, decides to chime in on the video. We were, you know, all the comments were, oh, wow, that looks good. What are you using? And, you know, and I have to reiterate, I'm using Rubio. Hey, bro, you can't read. But, yeah, I'm using Rubio.
That's the worst.
One person asked me, how does Rubio compare to Odie's? And I don't think I finished my sentence. James is the owner, founder of Odie's Oil. One person asked me, how does Odie's compare to Rubio? And I just simply said, without tagging Odie's, and this other person didn't tag Odie's either, I think they're on two different levels, and Rubio's way better. My opinion, my post. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Right.
And like I said, 2.5 weeks later, here comes James trotting in on his old high horse, drops his comment. He goes on and on about Big Chemical. And then at the end of the comment, I mean, it was a really long comment. And all of this is in my story highlights because I saved everything. I always have receipts. At the end of the comment, he says something to the fact that anybody who works out of their garage is less than him or something like that. Or he hasn't worked out of a garage since he was 12. So he was disparaging people that work out of garages. And then he made comments about people that wear snapback hats.
What a weird thing to like go after.
It was super weird, right? And, you know, I looked at that comment and I was like, the hell is this? Because even though I have a quote-unquote big following, I still like to manage my comments, because if there are trolls, I will, you know, take appropriate measures. Usually I make a mom joke or something or whatever. But I was looking at this and I was like, wait a minute. I took a screen grab of it and I sent it to Mike Coffey, who's my podcast mate, and he's had a run-in with James before. I said, is this the owner of Odie's? And Coffey confirmed. He's like, oh yeah, that is the owner of Odie's. So I sat on it for a few hours. I deleted the comment, first of all, because I just didn't want it on my page. And then I sat on it, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to let this go. And I posted a screen grab of his comment in my stories, and it slowly snowballed into like this giant movement where people are pissed that he had the balls to disparage anybody working in their garage shop or even wearing a snapback hat. So it's created this whole huge movement where people are like, I'm in the snapback club, I'm in the garage maker club. Like, It's literally worldwide in the maker community. It is inspiring, to say the least.
In like 3 days. Like 3 days.
Yeah, in like 3 days. I said on a story today, I think. Somebody was asking me. Well, actually, several people asked me. Do you think there's any negative that's come out of this? I mean, do you really think you should be giving him that much publicity? You know, that's probably all he wants. He just wants the attention. And I'm like, you know what? I put a lot of thought into that. And yeah, there are some negatives that have come out of this. And I don't want to continue to give him publicity. But I think the positives that have come out of this far, far outweigh the negatives. Just seeing the maker community come together the way it did and seeing all these, like, I'm seeing charity work come up out of this. It is insane. And I'm here for it. I love it. So I think the positives outweigh the negatives.
Yeah, so,
and that's the long-winded breakdown, I guess. Sorry, I talk a lot. I didn't know if you guys knew that or not.
No, that was perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping for when you started talking. So glad to have the details as to what's going on. And I mean, update the folks who listen to this too, you know?
So quick rewind to the post that you were talking about that, you know, sparked this. What were you putting the Rubio on?
Just a simple... It's right over here. I'll go grab it. But it's a simple little couch table. It's a simple little couch table. It was a personal project. I made that little couch table that's sitting over there. This is a video, so I'm talking to podcast people, and you can't see where I'm pointing. I made this simple little couch table for our sectional a year ago. Another video that went viral about a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago. And I sprayed it with lacquer. But I've since, like, I've spilled drinks on it and put alcohol on it. And, you know, lacquer just doesn't hold up under that type of stress.
During all your GTA sessions on the couch or what?
You better believe it, brother. Don't get me started on GTA. I'm pretty proud of my GTA level. So I took that little table into the shop. I sanded all the lacquer off and I refinished it with Odies. And that's what that video is. Just Rubio, me using Odies on there. Oh God!
You're canceled, Dan.
It's happening.
Can you edit that out? I was using Rubio. For the love of God, I was using Rubio. Let's not
a
only.
Little beep 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 rewind.
No, leave it in. That's funny.
So,
oh man,
like is Rubio food safe in the first place? Like, could you have put that on hardwood and used it as a cutting board?
So, I don't have a good answer for that, and I need to find out because I actually have a contact at Rubio now. That's one of the great things that's come out of this. I got contacts at all these finishing companies. Big Chemical, yeah. I've heard, and I haven't confirmed this, that Rubio itself doesn't suggest using the Monocoat Pure on cutting boards. So I don't know how true that is.
Rubio Monocoat Oil Plus 2C Food Contact Compliance on the Rubio website. And it says, our oil is ideal for countertops and other surfaces where food is involved. Rubio Monocoat Oil Plus 2C has indeed been declared to be used in contact with food. But what does that mean exactly? And then it goes into charcuterie boards, butcher block countertops, tabletops, etc. And they're safe for household use. The test results show that Rubio Monaco blah 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 is in full compliance when applied to
this is great content, Tyler. Keep going.
Well, it kind of seems like it's running around in circles. We might want to actually cut this part out because it doesn't really answer it. But in my opinion, what I think, and this is totally uneducated, I would say, is I would imagine that sure, you could throw it on something that's wood and going to be used as a serving tray after, you know, maybe a week or so cure time.
I would agree with
that. I think once you cut on it, it's probably not going
to
be.
It's the cutting that is probably not that great because it's going to.
Just like epoxy, right? Like you can use it as a serving tray, but you can't cut on it.
Yeah, so you don't want to slice into it. Go on.
My question
Sorry,
about
Brian.
That then. No, you're good. You're good. Like they're different. They're different products in the first place. And
yeah, that's
exactly.
My argument too.
That's why I said they're not even on the same level. They're not the same.
And then
whatever.
I'm trying to wrap
never
my
use
mind
Rubio.
Around his reply.
I've been trying to wrap my mind around his reply for 3 days, man. Good luck.
I just don't see where he went after a whole community of people that supported him because, to be honest, I've used ODs, like they're dark and they're regular for like cutting boards and like an urn that I made. I have no issues with the product.
It's exactly. Fine. I use it too. As a matter of fact, if you watch that actual video where he commented, if you look at the bench, you will see my jar of ODs on the bench. I use it too.
Let me backtrack for a second. So, Doggy, you were onto something there. You were onto something there, Doggy. So, I would never use Odie's oil on a piece of furniture. And that's just my preference. I would never use Rubio on a cutting board, though, obviously.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, in Dan's defense, I would have said the same thing. They're not in the same class. They're not on the same level. They're not the same product. And I'm sure they could be interchangeable in some way, but that's just my preference and what I know. Like we were just saying, we're not scientists. We don't know the nitty-gritty behind these products and whatnot. I don't know anything about the big chemical BS that guy was going on and on about, which is whatever. But that's just my opinion on that. I would never interchange those two products. I've used Odie's oil probably 4 or 5 times on cutting boards and other small things. I've never really enjoyed the application process. And once I learned that it takes like 2 or 3 weeks to be water safe when you apply it to walnut, I should have thrown it away right there. The only reason I didn't throw it away is because it was a $60 jar of finish.
Right?
And I like money a little too much for
speaking
that.
Speaking of that, I'm shocked at the amount of people that are throwing away full jars of ODs. So I myself, I'm a cheap ass. Sorry, I don't know if I can say that on your podcast.
Oh, let it rip, baby.
I'm a cheap ass. I would at least use it before I kicked him to the curb. You know, you've already spent the money on it. I mean, he's already got your money. Mm-hmm. People are throwing away full jars. Like that's it. Crazy.
So, in my experience with this fella, and it's not direct experience, it's just someone who I've associated with who has had an experience with him, is a very similar thing to what you went through, Dan. I worked for a fella that you guys probably know, William Douglas Co., for a very short mm-hmm. period of time. And he did a comparison video between Rubio, Osmo, Odie's oil, several other items. And the dude saw the video and it gave Odie's a pretty good rating, right? Mm-hmm. But the dude comments on it and berates Will for his application method. Like, he didn't be like, hey, like, I noticed you applied this kind of not in the preferred fashion. He just instantly was like, that's not how you apply it, you cannot compare it with these products and blah blah blah, blah. And it's like, this guy has got some problems.
That's another interesting thing that this has brought up. I mean, I am clearly not an isolated incident, the thing that happened with me. I've heard and seen so many other stories because other people have screen grabs. I haven't shared everything. It's mind-boggling. This guy is still in business. And I think mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons why it blew up so well, is because, you know, enough people have heard the stories that, you know, they just needed a catalyst, and it just kind of festered over and just blew up. Like mm-hmm. the cyst was ready to pop.
And a lot of people had mentioned that, where it was like, what he's saying, let's see. How I want to word this. Like, I think, Dan, he was just going after you in that scenario, and he didn't realize that what he was saying was actually going at like 75% of his customer base. Like, he wasn't sitting there thinking mm-hmm. all these two car garage makers. He's like, Dan Dunlap, I'm coming uh-huh. at his throat right now, and yeah. totally alienated himself. Like, how can a CEO in that position make that mistake? Like, that's just beyond stupid. And Eric Yoakum, Eli Woodworks, commented on yeah. an Odie's post today. And it's a longer comment, but it said, how many times has his words been taken out of context? Because everyone defends James. Everyone's like, oh, it's just being taken out of context. And Eric said, the first time someone calls you a horse, you punch them in the nose. The second time someone calls you a horse, you call them a jerk. But the third time, well, perhaps it's time to go shopping for a saddle. Like, he's not, it's not this just like, he's not just oblivious and like, he's just a jerk.
And it's a pattern.
It's a clear pattern, and it's not accidental at all.
Also, I saw Eric's comment, and it's funny that starts out with punching somebody in the nose first.
And then calling them a jerk. I think Dan, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was actually going to read those in opposite order. I was going to say, call him a jerk first.
I
contemplated that.
That was funny.
But yeah, it's just a pattern.
Oh, Dan, yeah, it's a serious pattern.
Dan, did you watch that, I don't know, it's like 45-minute long video that James posted on the Odie's Oil
I account? Refuse to watch it. I refuse to watch their stories. I've only accidentally watched a few of their stories because every now and then somebody will send me a direct link to their story, and I think that it's a reel or something because it looks very similar in IG. And I'll click it, and I'm like, oh, God, this is a story. And I don't want them knowing that I'm watching their stories. I haven't watched the live or anything like that. I've had enough reports. I've had enough people telling me what exactly went down. I feel like I basically got a full transcript in my DM somewhere. You know, if I just patch it together. I've heard that it's just complete unhinged rants and conspiracy theories, so...
He's just no longer worrying about the issue at hand. He's just like playing damage control. Like he's just firefighting at this point, trying to make.
I mean,
himself,
he's not. He's saving. Himself. I wouldn't even say he's playing damage control. I mean, damage control. You would at least apologize. I have. Right. He hasn't even started
that. Down.
He's doubling down. Absolutely, he's doubling down. I mean, I just got a report tonight that he's still calling me names. So something like I got called a soy boy. Beta male or something like that.
I just saw that someone I was just looking at their stories and I you know I'm not going to read the whole thing sitting here because it's kind of long, but on the bottom it says the soy boy. I you know I'll preface with saying I could be reading this out of context, so just to make that clear, the soy boy cult needs to check itself at the garage door. So he's still continuing to make these digs about the whole garage makers.
Yep.
And
yep.
Soy boy doubling on its down. Own. It just doesn't make any sense. Dude.
That is not damage control, in my opinion.
And I absolutely, you know, kind of once again backtracking a bit, it's been phenomenal seeing the maker community just absolutely rise and come together and do all the things they're doing. Like I've seen some incredible memes about all this stuff going on, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it bugs me that this guy still is going to have a community. You know, like he's obviously built a large business. And I like that it's definitely taking a huge blow. I wish that we could say, like, we're going to freaking knock him out of business. Not that I wish that upon anybody. But
man, this is hearsay and this is speculation. But I will say that I've heard whispers of some bigger retailers making decisions.
Good. Absolutely. And I know that if it ever comes up in conversation with I've been in talks with a handful of retailers who I know carry Odie's. And if this situation ever comes up in conversation, you bet your ass I'm going to mention it and, you know, put the idea in their mind that they should look into the company that they are carrying. Because I know that once they do that, they're not going to be happy with the state of what's going on, you know?
Exactly. I mean, in the bottom line, it comes down to what's going to hurt their pocketbooks more.
Right.
So as long as we all like join forces and continue this little movement, quote unquote, that is going on. I mean, the bigger retailers are going to feel that in the end, and they're going to have no reason to carry the product if nobody's buying it.
So right? I'm in the mindset, like with big business in general in America, like if you're like being a jerk, like apologize, get forced out and let the business continue.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to lose their job over there, except for, of course, James, you know,
I think fully agree.
Yes.
Agree.
You know, I just apologize, leave and like continue making a decent product. Like,
yeah.
but he's again, doubling down and it's going to ultimately destroy Odie's Oil as a whole company because he's not acknowledging that he made a mistake. And continues to make the same mistakes.
If after that first comment, he would have just been like, hey guys, like that was taken out of context. I apologize. Like I did not mean to offend anybody. We would not be here right now. Is that fair to say?
No, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't. Even if he would have like reached out in a DM to me and said, hey, I saw your comment. I'd like to talk to you about the differences between Rubio and Odie's and, you know,
right.
Give you some information and maybe you'll learn something. You know, that it would have been a way different thing. But the way he approached it, bad. Just bad.
That's the exact same situation I explained with Will. You know, the dude just berated him in the comments rather than being like, hey, like, you know, maybe you should apply it this way and give it a new shake on the test. Yeah.
Let's talk.
Which is funny because James is, let's be honest, he's probably way smarter about this stuff than me in terms of like the chemical makeup of everything. Like he's founded Odie's, right? he's probably I see Dan shaking his head over there. Like, in terms of science in general,
I've seen evidence to the contrary these past few days that he lacks. Oh, or so that he has any sort of smarts.
Spewing any sort. Yeah. But like,
I hear what you're saying, doggy.
Yeah, like I don't know. I'm a man of principle here. If what you're saying, like, you're not going to convince me otherwise. If like you're right, if I don't like you, I'm not going to care about what you're saying. It's a personality exactly. thing at this point. And
absolutely.
And he can't.
Yeah, you might have a good product, but I'm not using it if you're a dick.
I don't. I tagged you in the story today, Dan. I have no Odies in my shop, but I did use it on a coffee table, and I sanded it off my coffee table.
I saw that one, and I reposted that one. Yes, my DMs have been a dumpster fire. So if you send me a DM right now and I don't see it, I am sorry. I'm trying my best. But I still have a business I got to run.
Every time I look at your story, you normally mine are like, you know, little like centimeter lines at the top. Yours are just like dots. There's just such
dots.
You remember when
Mike Coffey was in his heyday of stories? I'm like, I even told him, I'm like, man, I feel like you. Is this what you felt like? Is this the way your stories look? I actually got to a point where I was uploading so many stories in a 24-hour period. You know how they're supposed to stay in your stories for 24 hours? Like Instagram was just dumping the ones off the end. You can only have 100. 100 stories is the 24-hour limit, and I found that out the hard way. How sad is that?
Didn't you have an issue with your highlights as well that you saved?
For you can only save 100 stories in a highlight, too. So they will say, highlights? No more. No bueno. Huh?
Do you have two highlights for Odies then?
I have one. I really should make a second one, but I don't know. I feel like the first one just captured everything. The second one would just be little excess additive ammunition. Drama. Yeah, it would be excessive, I feel like. I don't know.
But I mean, like I said, there's been so many freaking awesome memes that have come out of it. Some people are having some... I talked to a 3D DIY Dave a couple days ago. He made a really funny video.
That reel he made was so good. I was literally cry laughing. That was so good.
Yeah, I got to get that shared up on the podcast account because that was freaking hilarious.
What did he do? I'm going to look it up.
You snapback garage working Rubio using son of a...
Speaking of that phrase, though, and going back to what you said about the positives that had come out of the situation, I saw someone was making stickers with some kind of phrase like that, and they were donating it to the...
Cats Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund, yes. Wow. Ryan Price, I believe. I forget his IG handle. He designed a sticker that looks very similar to the product that starts with O. I need to stop saying their name. It looks very similar to that, but when you read the wording, it's actually pretty funny. So he started making those stickers, and he's selling them for $5. And all the profits he's donating to the Cats Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund. And then James from hashtag tooling over in the UK, I believe.
Wow.
He started making those same stickers out of brass. And he said that if he ships a bunch to Ryan... and Ryan sells them for $25 a piece, you know, all that will go to the Cats of Moses Fund too as well. So
that's pretty awesome.
And, you know, James over at hashtag tooling is, you know, doing it all on his time and his dime. He's not charging a thing for it. So
I'm buying a sticker.
That's just
right
one
now.
Of the cool things that have come out of this. I think that's
right. I just looked it up, and his Instagram username is Ryan Price, exactly like it's sound.
Oh, well, that's why I don't. Okay.
And he does have these the brass plaques. They're coming soon, and I believe the stickers are currently available. And like Dan said, they're $5. Go nab one. All proceeds are indeed being donated to the Cats Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund. He has a link on the listing if you feel so inclined to also check that out. Highly suggested, of course. And absolutely. It sounds like those plaques are coming soon, so that'll be something cool to get all of your hands on.
Yeah, and like I said, that's just one of the awesome things that have come out of this, and that's one of the things that really is inspiring to me. Mm-hmm. I think it's totally amazing.
And then, like I said, it's just freaking sick seeing all these dudes who, you know, internet friends, back to our last conversation, just rally up and support each other and, you know, just get behind this cause, because I think it's worthwhile, to be honest with you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be hanging around as much as it is. And I mean, I'm sure it'll be around for a very, very long time, you know?
I hope so. I really do. I really, I want more good to come of this, and I really want James to learn a lesson. I really do. I know that may sound a little bit vindictive, but it sounds like we talked about before, this is a pattern that he's been in, and it's high time that he learns his lesson.
Totally.
I agree. Perhaps, you know, one can hope.
Right. So speaking of community, Dan, and I don't want this to come across poorly, but it seems like you've also luckily seen some like growth off of this. So you're obviously not losing in this situation.
No, I'll be honest. I've gained probably 4,000 followers since Saturday, and today is what, Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
have
I've
you seen any
growth.
Drop off? Like, yeah, I'm looking at your insight. I mean, obviously the itself is going up, but I don't know if you've looked in the deep insights.
I'm sure I've lost some. Let me look right here. I'm stalling as I talk and look. I'm sure I'm losing some. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, not everybody agrees with everything.
Right. Because I know, I mean, looking at the Odie's Oil page, I mean, there's still dudes who are
losing. Okay, so for instance, on Sunday alone, I gained 759 overall. Wow. I had 842 followers and 83 unfollows.
It's not bad at all.
Not bad. I mean, yes. Yeah, so long story short, yes, I have seen growth.
That's pretty awesome.
And this has all been on Instagram. I haven't even taken this to TikTok yet. I don't think it's worth it at this point. Yeah, maybe I will. I don't know. I have a bigger following on TikTok somehow, some way. I don't know why.
So do I. I mean, but I have no idea how I got that. I think you usually say the same thing.
TikTok is all a mystery to me.
Yeah. It's all, I mean, I always justify it as just bots. And I feel so bad because Doggy hasn't gotten that. He tried for a little while to get the TikTok going, but
you gotta do more booty short dances, Doggy.
I got my 5-inch running shorts. I'll go out there and do something.
There you go. Yeah. Drinking the Miller High Life. Yeah, I know you.
We got some Bud Diesel right now.
Nice.
Chelada.
I'm drinking a classic Happy Dad seltzer. You guys had these yet?
I've never even seen those.
They look like what?
The Macbeth logo. Macbeth hardwood without the elephant.
It does kind of, yeah. A little bit.
The colors, I guess, right?
I haven't seen a Macbeth logo in a while, so I really shouldn't be. I think I had a sticker runner somewhere. I don't know.
What?
Ever since Rusty was doing whatever Rusty was doing.
Yeah, what happened with that if you are at liberty to speak about it?
I'm not at liberty to speak of that.
Okay. Totally fair enough. I wasn't sure. I think I've heard some things through Mike or somebody, but I never really, you know.
I don't want to
contact with them.
I do not want to get in the weeds with that. That's just not a good situation.
All right, fair enough then. Go ahead, Doc.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. No, you go.
No, you hang up. No, you hang up.
Exactly.
Not clear there, but we've talked about Odie's, right? And we've talked about that garbage and that junk. So I've only used it for like food safe purposes, but I'm clearly not doing that anymore. So Dan, what's your favorite food safe finish that you would use?
Favorite. We don't want to hear multiple. Just give us what your go-to is going to be from now on.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Before today, I haven't tried a whole lot. My favorite currently is the Total Boat Wood Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, as of right now. But fair enough. I will say that this has another benefit of this is I've had a lot of wood finish companies reach out to me. I've had phone calls and DMs, and I got a lot of care packages coming over the next couple days. So I'm excited to try all these. And I will be honest and upfront and open, and I'll tell everybody how I feel about them.
So what does that look like? Like you said, you got phone calls and DMs and stuff. So they reached out to you and were like, hey, we're not a piece of shit. Can we send you some of our stuff to try out? Or how did
that go? That's basically how it went. Yeah. I mean, Walrus Oil reached out right away. I mean, Dave, the owner of that company, seems like a really, really solid human being. And he reached out right away. And he wasn't even trying to sell his product. He just wanted to share his support and, you know, share his experience with the owner, of that other company.
Oh, interesting. And I didn't know they had any kind of interaction.
A lot of these people had interactions with James. I don't know if I'm at liberty to share specifics, but yeah, this has been a long, long pattern. That's not just with other makers. Yeah. And then, I said, man, thank you so much. You know, I'm going to go buy some walrus oil right now because I'd like to try it. And he said, you know what? I'm going to send you some. Just give me your address. And I was like, oh, cool. Thank you. And then 5 minutes later, he dropped $400 in my Etsy store.
Whoa.
I was blown away. I'm a fan for life. I haven't even tried his product yet. And I'm a fan. So
speaking of being a fan for life, so backstory on my relationship with Walrus Oil. First off, Dave, always been a stand-up fella, super friendly. Really cool story, just how he's built up Walrus Oil in general. I know he's super environmentally conscious and actively takes moves to preserve the planet that we live on, and he's always being mindful of the situation. But when I first started woodworking, ironically, my first... It wasn't a commission. It was just an idea that someone gave me to make a cutting board. And I was like, okay, I've never done it before. I literally just bought my first woodworking actual tool, which was a planer. And I was like, okay, I can make a cutting board. And I had posted a picture on Instagram. At the time, I was still going by Homegrown Creations.
I remember those days.
And I posted a picture of me holding the unfinished cutting board. And I got to this point, I was like, I got to put something on it, right? Like, I think I've seen this in the videos of people doing whatever they do. And I don't even remember. I think he saw my post somehow on the Explore page or something. And he was like, oh, no, I did DM him. Sent him a message and I said, hey, man, like, I just made my first cutting board and I have literally no idea what to do. Like, I was wondering if, like, is your product the right thing to do? And he was like, send me your address. I'll get you a little care package going and you can let me know how you like it. And if it works out well for you, finished my first cutting board with walrus oil and I used it for years and years and years.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's how you run a company. Not just a finishing company. That's how you run a company.
You just not giving free stuff away all the time, but building good relationships is what he means, I presume.
Yes. Building good relationships and just caring and not treating people like trash. I mean, you reached out to him and you were like, this is my first cutting board ever. And he could have just ignored you, or he could have been like, okay, what do you want me to do about it? Well, go away, kid.
In his 2-car garage. Go away, kid.
Exactly. But that's no, he so was funny. An upstanding dude and he took care of you. That's awesome.
Totally. And back to what Doggy just said about the 2-car garage thing. It's pretty cool and exciting to have you on here, Dan, because I think it's safe to say you're a full-time woodworker, right?
Yeah, like, I think that's pretty safe to say at this point.
And you work out of your garage, and I do. I'm also a full-time woodworker. We've both made it careers working out of a garage, so I don't know how anyone could possibly hate on somebody for being able to do what we do working out of a garage. It just makes no sense. Like, we're pretty lucky to have that space to work and not have to have extra overhead in a shop space. You know, if you got to rent something or buy a bigger property and build a building on it, it just makes no freaking sense. That guy... belittles.
You're fired up.
Well, we didn't talk about this earlier to begin with. Well, I didn't talk about it, but it just made no sense that he would belittle someone for wearing a specific type of hat and working out of a garage.
No, like, it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, I just like about 6 months ago, I was to the point in my business where I needed to look at getting a new space. Or I need to make some sort of change. Something needed to change because I was growing at a pace that I couldn't keep up with by myself in my garage. So I was looking at spaces. And spaces right now are just insanely expensive. I mean, we're talking... Yep. I looked at a couple that were about 2,000 square feet, which is a little over double what I currently have. But it was like $5,000, $7,000 a month. And that's just way too much in my overhead. I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I'm not rich.
Right.
But if I start paying that, then I'm not making any money. So it's like,
right.
Okay, I can't do that. So what do I got to do? Well, I'm going to start cutting back on commissions and focus on my Etsy, which is what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. So real quick question. Closing on a house July 21st, first house I've ever bought. on the property, there's a 25.
Oh, we gotta do it. We gotta do a clap real quick. Let's go, doggy.
Put myself in the back for both of you guys. There's a 25 by 30 wired shop, 2-car garage door on the front, 1 garage door on the back, so I could like drive through if I wanted to.
That's awesome. I'm jealous, and I don't.
Do I have to no longer wear snapbacks? Does that still count as a garage?
No, no. I think you have to wear two.
Using Odie's oil.
No, you have to wear two snapbacks at a time.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Like the front and back. Have you ever seen people wear their hats like that? One bill facing forward. Yeah. Like a rally cap.
There you go. Inside out and backwards.
There you go.
No, but I just sorry. I'm excited about that because I just toured the house today with the inspector. And
that
like,
is that is
like,
dope.
There's so much space in here. It's not 19 by 19.
That's another issue we've run into. So the leasing of space wasn't going to work out. So we were starting to look at properties, and I don't know if you've been living under a rock or not, but the housing market isn't the greatest right now. I mean, it's pretty cutthroat out there right now, even in Nebraska. And so buying a house right now just isn't in the cards either. I mean, we own a house, but buying another house isn't in the cards. So
right. Yeah.
And bad timing.
Totally. 100%. I kind of was in the same. I am loosely still in the same situation. You have a 3-car garage, Dan, don't you?
Nope. Two. I'm in a 2-car garage.
Oh, so am I. We're so much alike. We should be friends.
We should be. It's 21 by 21.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, doggy, having that extra 5 foot in width and 10 feet in length, I couldn't even imagine.
I would kill for that. Well,
so yeah. Everyone's talking.
Oh, I would kill. I would kill somebody
for that.
Yes, FBI. This man here.
Okay.
My girlfriend's standing next to me, and she said, "Me too."
Well, the a bunch of people are like, "Oh, that's so much space. You could do this, this, and this." And I was like, "I'm going to move in and try not to build a single workbench. Like, I have my outfeed table, and the last thing I want to do is build 50 workbenches and then feel like I'm back in a 21 by 21 garage." Because
you're going to outgrow it. Like,
I need to like take a deep breath and just like, slowly grow into this. So I don't.
Before you know it, like a year from now, Doggy's going to be complaining about how his space isn't big enough anymore.
Well, now I have what 90% of woodworkers, that is random number, just making that up, right? Total lie.
That's how all garages. Internet facts work.
Well, it's on the internet, so that's true. But most of the people I know are in 2-car garages. So now I have no room to complain when I'm out of a 2-car garage. Like, I have no room to complain about my shop.
Yeah, you're going
to
get all these snapback maker hat garage gang people crying alligator or crocodile tears, alligator tears. I don't know what the, you know,
I would totally
playing the world's tiniest violin or whatever.
I would totally. Oh, poor Brian.
I think one of my favorite things to come out of this whole Odie's oil situation, and I kind of am sick of giving it as much light as we have already, but the snapback hat maker gang is like, I love it. I think that's such a sick term.
Are people selling hats?
Look,
I got a snapback right next to me.
I haven't even advertised that I'm selling hats, and I've sold about 25 hats. I'm like, I'm a little worried, actually, because I don't have that many in stock. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to get these out. And I'm leaving for vacation in about 4 days. So I don't know how I'm going to fulfill those orders.
Where are you going? Out.
I'm going to Oahu, actually.
Whoa, really?
Honolulu. Yeah.
Whole fam?
The whole fam. The whole damn fam.
Nice,
dude. That sounds lovely. I could really use a beach in my life right
Big
now.
Big chemicals paying the whole way. It's going to be great.
Oh, okay. Speaking of,
just kidding.
We should probably jump into these questions. Is that
bring them on.
All right. So I went to the Instagrams. I'm sure most of you guys saw it. A beautiful little graphic I made searching for questions for Dan the Man.
Yeah, I like how you picked the picture of me holding a Bloody Mary. Thank you.
I thought you looked nice. I loved the picture. I thought you looked very friendly and welcoming. You kind of made me want to pour myself one. It was pretty lovely.
I want one now.
So we got a handful of the usual trolling questions. And we got a couple pretty useful ones. So let's kick it off with my personal favorite one. And I would like to answer this one first if I could. It's from great friend of the show, Mr. Caller Hardwoods. and Charlie. Is that how you say it, Doggy?
Kohler, yeah.
Kohler Hardwoods, Charlie, good guy. He says, what on earth made you want to talk to these two idiots, Dan? And I'll tell you, it costs a lot of money. But Dan, wait, over to you.
Where'd you send the money? Because I haven't...
Oh, did you not get the check?
No. Hey, where's the check? No, I've, like Tyler mentioned earlier, we've been following each other for a long, long time. We were in a chat group together when we were all, man, in the baby three accounts and four figure followers. So, yeah, I mean, as soon as Tyler asked me, I was like, hell yeah, I'm in.
And again, we appreciate you coming on, man. I'm very thankful.
I still remember, because Dan, it was when I first met Mike Coffey, and you guys are, you know, do the podcast together. And I think that was when Mike Coffey hit like 500 followers. And I was like, oh, dude, like, great, like, so well deserved everything. And then I blink, and he's at like 25,000.
Right.
And all you guys, yeah, all three of you, Pete as well.
I firmly believe that our podcast has helped quite a bit in that arena as well. I mean, that I can't believe how well that podcast is doing. I mean, it's woodworking and dick jokes, so it's kind of wild. So,
I kind of want to dive into the I have a couple personal questions that I would like to ask about the podcast. If you
I got some personal answers, bring it.
Okay, great.
8 inches.
Let's go in. This is my personal favorite question that we got in, directed at Dan. Do you prefer it says, do you prefer Odies on furniture or in the trash can?
Oh, in the trash can now, currently, yes.
So I have a really funny idea, actually. I still, like I said, have a jar of Odies that I've had for... I bought it at Macbeth at that meetup we did. So that was, what, 2.5 years ago, something like that?
August of 2020. So August, you do the math.
Something yeah, like that.
Damn near 2 years. Enough.
And I want to, I really, really, really want to, I don't know if I'll have the time to do it, but drive up north, you know, 20, 30 minutes where we have shooting grounds and take my shotgun and just chuck it up in the air like a sporting clay and just pop.
Somebody's already beat you to that.
What?
Did you? Yeah. Mike from Broken Lead Woodworks put his, well, sort of, he put his can on or jar. Jar can, it's all the same, right? he put his jar on a stump. And he shot it with his big, big giant rifle with a big
damn it
bullet. I'm not a gun guy, so I don't.
All right. Well, I can't copy that, I guess. So he wins that round.
Yeah. So and Mike beat you. Sorry about that.
And then you know, there's some more about the big O word, Rubio or Odies. I think we all know the answer to that question.
I think it's pretty obvious at this point.
So. This is the last one that I want to entertain that has something to do with Odies. But Odies on furniture, Dan? Like an actual piece of
furniture? I've never used it on furniture. Yeah. Oh, okay. I've never used it on furniture.
And would you have over other options?
No.
Me either.
I used it for cutting boards only.
Yeah, same.
And okay, serving cool trays.
Doggy, do you have anything to add about that?
No. If I have cloth furniture, I'm not putting an oil finish on it. Like that's going to leak. I mean, that's not like Rubio's oil, right? But like all those.
Wait, did you say if you have cloth furniture?
Yeah. Like a.
Why would you.
Like a, instead of like leather or something like a couch, and you're putting like a table or a tray on it and it gets all like leaky? No.
Okay. I thought that you were talking, you were going to rub Odies on a cloth. Like, obviously, you're not going to do that.
How many of those Bud Diesels have you drank?
No, like, you know. Dan, I think you made the little table that like folds under the couch and then goes over the
Yeah, that's
side.
The one I was redoing with the Rubio.
Okay. See?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
One. Like I wouldn't want anything that had Odies on it or any like cutting board.
You want to something that's going to fully cure and be catalyzed and not have any sort of residue.
Look at those catalyzed big chemical terms that you're using.
I'm showing my true colors. I've been paid.
So, Dan, I assume that this is I'm sorry. That question that I just asked about the Odies oil on furniture or trash was by Darbs Designs. Shout out to you for answering a question. And that latest one was by Fraser Family Woodworks. Thank you guys so much for submitting a question for Dan the Man. The next one, I assume, is some sort of inside joke. And it says, who is Dan's fave character in Garfield? That's from Ash over in Australia from Woodwork and Whiskers.
You guys don't know about Garfield and Odie's?
No.
Garfield the cat and Odie's the dog?
Odie
the dog. He's making an Odie joke.
I was like, this really reached to the creators of Garfield, and they made a joke about it already?
No, but it has reached the continent of Australia.
Maybe. Yes, it sure has.
There's actually a retailer over there that's pulling Odie's off the shelves. Hammeroo or something like that?
Good. It's pretty awesome. Those guys. Sandlot Creative Co. Dan asks, ironically, He asks, does Dan like cheese? Because Tyler doesn't. And that's a fact. He got very triggered last week because I talked about how I didn't like cheese very briefly. And it was enough. It angered Dan enough to shoot me a message asking me how crazy I am. And apparently crazy enough to not like cheese.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Exactly.
Dude.
All right, moving on.
Is it like blue cheese? Because I can understand not liking blue cheese.
Oh, is it
like
just all cheese?
You want to know a funny story about blue cheese, actually?
I want my question answered.
Objection, hearsay.
So my thing with cheese, and this is what I told Dan, is I said that in order for me to have it on a dish or something that I'm having, it needs to be like ratioed out by whatever else is on the dish. So like when I go to In-N-Out Burger, I want one cheese slice with two patties. You know, I don't want double cheese, double patty. I want one cheese, two patties. I want
one patty and six cheese slices.
That's what you would prefer?
Well, maybe four.
I want the cheese inside.
We'll be reserved. Ugh, that's disgusting. But that's my explanation of it. So, like, I would never go out and dip a chip in queso. You know, that's not my jam at all.
You're not living life to the fullest.
You are no fun.
Just not a cheese guy. And he gave me a good excuse. He said that I should just start telling people that I'm lactose intolerant so I don't have to deal with this kind of verbal abuse from jabronis like you two.
That's exactly what I would start doing if I were you. Man, jeez.
Hey, don't let this get out.
We should delete this. But going into we got a couple serious questions. And I think this one in particular, I think we all should have the same answer. It's from a good friend, Matt, from Rough Sanded Woodworking. He said, and I assume it's directed at Dan again. It says, what do you have for a router table setup? Seen it in a lot of some of your recent videos.
Oh, I have a Jessam router Master Lift 2. In the wing of my saw stop.
Yeah, I think me and Doug both have the same setup.
I love it. Speaking of Matt from Rough Sanded Woodworks, he's been doing a really cool thing too, I think. I think I have the right guy. I just want to double check.
You are definitely correct. He's doing the
buyback
program.
He's doing a little Odie's buyback program. If you send Matt a jar of Odie's, a used jar of Odie's or whatever, he will send you a jar of the Atomic Finishes by Bidwell.
Mm-hmm. I think that's Laura awesome. Soil is also chipping in as well.
Are they? See? Awesome. I love it. More positivity of this.
Totally. And cool. Going back to that, Doug and I both also used Dan, do you have the actual saw stop router wing or do you have like a makeshift table?
I have the saw stop just wing. It's the cast iron. I have the regular cast iron wings. Then I have the 36-inch extension that's a melamine top. And I cut into it and put a router lift into it myself.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I just not
big
too
chemical.
Long ago,
don't pay me enough money to buy the actual saw stop router wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got the me and Dougie have the saw stop router wing. And man, that thing has been a sick addition. You already got yours set up the way it is.
Well,
it's perfectly fine, I'm sure.
I could definitely use the cast iron one. Mine isn't perfect, I would say. There's some problems.
I thought about
as there usually is with things like that.
I mean, I thought about doing it myself. But I don't make jigs myself. I buy jigs. Anytime that there's like measurement where I need precision over and over and over again, I just buy it because I don't want to deal with it. And that was a buy once, cry once with the saw stop router wing for me. I was like, I'm doing this. I'm doing it.
That's my mindset as well.
I feel like that might be a purchase I make sometime this year before the year is out for sure.
I recommend it. It's pretty cool having the fence as well that comes with it. Doggies use it a lot more than I have, but it's just really freaking nice to have that, the whole setup, and it's got the, its own little tightening blocks and the nice little switch on it and the whole nine yards. All right. And then the next question is from John over at Grub Make, and he says,
old John Grub,
great guy, great, really good guy. Local Arizona maker, by the way. He's actually genuinely a good friend of mine.
Super sarcastic, and I love him.
It's amazing. He asks, what is your next upgrade in process or tool as your Etsy production scales up?
That's a very good question, John. I bet you'd like to know.
Good luck, buddy.
No, I've actually been thinking about it. And if I buy another machine to help me with my Etsy production, it's definitely got to be a laser of some sort. I need to be able to personalize stuff a little bit easier. And I think a laser would be the next logical step in this progression.
I thought you had a laser.
I do not. I don't have a laser. Yeah.
I swear to goodness. I just saw. I thought you posted.
Did you see those medallions I made? Is that?
Yeah.
That's all CNC. I CNC'd them with a very pointy bit. Huh. I don't know the degrees, 15 degrees maybe. And then I gave them a light coat of spray paint and sanded it back, and it looks lasered.
Yeah, for sure. I 100% thought you, I thought you had one of those little Laguna lasers, but
nope.
Silly me. Hmm. So with the laser, so what would you do with something like that? Would it be more for personalization, or do you
personalization have, like... for sure. And like, I have a lot of ideas, but it all comes back to personalization. So I think it'd be cool. I've learned that other makers love to, buy stuff for their shop that is personalized to them. So like they totally. Would love to buy, like the medallions I make, or just anything, push sticks with their logo on it, or sorry, Pete, I'm taking your idea.
I have one of those Petrie push sticks.
The little, I do too. He gave me one a long, long time ago. I still use it.
Heck yeah. I actually have a few of, Pete's items in the shop. I have, I just ordered a second one of his micro jig push block holders. You know, have you seen those?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
to send me one. I'm still waiting.
Well, that little bastard right. He sells enough of them, I'm sure. No, but and I think I have his track saw holder clamp thingy-majiggers. I wish I could buy one of his battery holder things, but I have batteries that he doesn't sell holders for, so that's disappointing.
What do you got, like Black & Decker or something? He sells like
Ryobi.
Oh, there's your problem.
I actually don't use those cordless tools very much, other than the router, my trim router. That thing is a freaking beast. I actually have a couple of them, and I
truly love them. Man, the cordless trim routers, I don't care who makes them. Those are the best.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Totally. 100%. And then lastly, from Pete, I have one of his little, it's like a square. It has a little couple rulers on it and my logo, and it works as a push block, and it's pretty awesome.
What we were talking about, the push squares that he makes.
Yeah, I've had those for a good
All right, minute. Enough about Pete. This is all about me, damn it.
Pete paid us for that, so thanks so much, Pete, for the advertisement.
Sponsored by Petrie's Workshop.
And I think, I had a question myself about Etsy. So Doggy and I have been wanting to have someone on specifically to talk about Etsy. I know you didn't really want to dive too deep into
it. No. I was making jokes earlier.
Oh, okay. All right. But I don't know. Now that I say it out loud, I think I did see a little while ago that Pete actually had some kind of Zoom class for Etsy.
He had he's got it on his YouTube channel. He did a starting Etsy, and he did a live, and it was really informative. I was like, wow, Pete, I didn't know you were like the teacher type. So yeah,
all it's right.
really
we're, good. We're kind of done with you. Do you think you can call up Pete and tell him to jump on here?
I mean. Yeah, I could text him real quick. They've been blown on my phone anyway, so.
I'm kidding. But I do want to hear, like, someone, because you've had pretty dang good success on Etsy, and I'm curious, is it more so, are you, I know now lately with your, like, zero clearance inserts and such, that's kind of really aided in your popularity, but do you also sell, like, products to normal consumers on there?
Yeah, you know, if I get bored, I'll throw together a cutting board or something. Sometimes, you know, like in the middle of something, you get a little bored of it. It just gets a little monotonous, you know, making the same thing over and over. And, you know, every now and then I need a break from the norm and I'll throw together a cutting board and just put it up on Etsy and see what happens. And that's been my whole strategy with Etsy.
So that's something I knew that you would understand really well. And that's kind of where me and Doggy differ, because Doggy obviously does this more so as a hobby than a business. Doggy has a lot more freedom, and we've talked about it several times, to kind of make whatever he wants, whatever he's feeling for that day. He definitely takes on clients, but that's also has a lot of freedom to make whatever he wants. And what you just said resonates obviously a lot with me, because I am so occupied by commissions, and sometimes it's not things that I want to make, and it just sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in the middle of doing a lot of big commissions as well, but I'm also, you know, tending to the Etsy thing. And like you said, I do a lot of zero clearance inserts now for all sorts of miter saws and table saws. And before that, I was doing bow ties, and I'm still doing bow ties. And that comes down to just throwing stuff on Etsy and seeing how it does. I've said this on my podcast. Etsy's like throwing wet noodles at the wall and seeing what sticks. I mean, you just got to make one thing to get a picture of it and put it on Etsy, and then it costs you 20 cents to list it. If it doesn't sell, you're not out anything other than the time it took to make that one thing.
And going off of that, I know recently that Etsy has really bumped up their fees, their seller fees, and that's obviously kicks in once you actually sell the item. How do you feel about that? Do you actually have your own website that you also sell things on?
I don't have a website. Everything I sell through Etsy. I get a few people requesting, you know, items directly through Instagram or something, and you know, I'll entertain that if they want to pay full price before I send it out through Venmo or something. But other than that, everything is through Etsy. I have no problems, no qualms with Etsy's fees. Most of the expenses that I have through Etsy are shipping fees, and you're going to get that no matter where you go.
Right.
Shipping is just it's a bear that you gotta deal with if you're selling small items and shipping them all over the country, all over the world. So,
What does one of those zero clearance? Goodness gracious! What does one of those zero clearance inserts cost you to ship? Just out of curiosity.
What they cost me to ship? I mean, a little Ryobi insert. It weighs about 2 ounces, and the way I package it up, it costs maybe $2 or $3 to ship it. But a saw stop insert, it weighs a little bit more. It's almost a pound, and that'll cost, you know, about $8 a cent. So
that's crazy. You know, I price know things heard so much.
I price things, you know, accordingly.
Gotcha.
And I, so, you know, I have a scale back there. You can't see it. I'm pointing again, and we're on a podcast. It's an audio thing. I have a scale back there, and I weigh everything, and I try to get it as accurate as possible to, you know, save money that way.
I like that shipping station you built, by the way. That's something that I really need to do myself. I like do it on the floor. I'll do it in the bed.
We have this coffee table in the other room, and I was just piling stuff up on it. And my wife is like, "You need to do something about this, or I'm buying a thing from Target." And I'm like, "No, I'll build something." So here we are.
Well, good for you, man. I think that's, that's something that, you know, going back to what we just were previously talking about, it's like, it's so hard to step away and do stuff for yourself. And that's something that I'm really working on trying to be better about.
You know, I've even had clients say, "Hey, why are you not working on my thing?" And I'm like, "You know what? You don't own all my time."
Yeah.
I do this for a living, but you know what? I also like doing it. So my free time, I'm still out there. Because I enjoy it. So you don't get to control my free time.
It'll get done by the time I told you it would be done.
Well, it'll get done. Let's just leave it at that.
Close enough.
What's the saying? If you wait until the last minute to do it, it only takes a minute?
Yeah, sure.
right. Speaking of those zero clearance inserts, and I mean, this is obviously not something that can be easily answered, but I have my own CNC, and I've done very basic design work and stuff. How the French do you, like, do you just sit down with a pair of calipers and measure out all these little cavities and the depths and the,
yeah,
I mean, there's some funky shapes in there. I mean, you do a great job.
I've been lucky enough to have a few people send me their inserts from their actual saws. you know, I made a call on Instagram and said, hey, I would love to make inserts for all sorts of different saws. And if you, if anybody out there is willing to send me an insert of their saw, if they can spare one, I would love to have that. And I got inundated with so many inserts. So that's how I did that. And I took calipers and I measured them, and I had the people that sent them to me measure the inside cavity a little bit, because the factory insert differs just a little bit. They're usually sloppy. So I, you know, the factory insert gives me a good starting base, but then, you know, I'll ask the people who sent me the inserts if they could go and take some measurements for me. So that's how I did it. Yeah. And then I drew everything up in a spire with circles and squares. Took forever.
Yeah. I admire the design. I've been designing this project. I don't even know if you can. I mean, I didn't really do a ton of designing, but I was doing these. I'm making 40 marquee letters. I know Mike Coffee did some not too long ago, but they're like the freestanding letters that have the holes cut out for lights to be inputted in them. I had to, gosh, and I hope this client doesn't listen, but they have been the worst. It's a husband and a wife, and they are never on the same page. I'm like, I get a message from the wife, and I already had called the husband about it an hour ago and told him this situation. It's just constant for the past 2 weeks, been doing that. I've been in that situation.
I understand.
Terrible. This is the second time it's happened to me, and I'm this close to being like, hey, like, I just need to communicate with one of you. I'm not doing both.
Have you thought about doing like a group chat with him?
I have a group chat with him, and I said, she sent me a message, and I said something about like, oh yeah, I'll drop it off to you guys on Friday. And then she goes like, oh, like, it's okay, we can pick it up on Friday. And then the husband goes, he said he could drop it off, he can drop it off. I'm like,
oh, and then they start arguing in the group chat.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
You're like, okay. Just over here in the corner.
Tyler Westfall left the chat. He just takes himself out. And they just end up texting each other.
And you know they're sitting on the couch.
Right next to each other. Dan, real quick, we're already well over an hour. You don't have any. I mean, we can wrap this up if we need to. I know I only told you it'd be about an hour.
Oh, no. I'm good. I'm having fun. If you want to keep going, good. I'm good.
Yeah, I think I just have. I mean, you can cut me off whenever, but I do have a couple more questions if you That's it. Were.
Nope.
You can start billing me by the hour. But yeah, so that's been a headache of a situation to deal with, but we're getting through. But anyway, so I'm making these marquee letters. They gave me the font, and they also sent me the account of another business that rents out these marquee letters, right? And they are copying them. I don't know what else to say. Like, they are like, oh yeah, just like go look at the layouts they have for all Tyler. The holes. You see, like, I think I call it inspiration when it's like an Etsy listing or a Pinterest link or something like that. But when it's another business in the next town over and you want me to like copy them, it's kind of like, come on, man.
And you're calling them up. Hey, just wondering, what do you charge for that? No but reason.
Anyways, so I have this font, right? And I put it in my software, which is VCarve Pro. I don't have Fusion, which is the next step up. And I put it in, and I put guidelines to make everything symmetrical, and then I go in and I insert the circles in the place that I want them, and there's a specific number they want me to have and the whole nine yards, and I send it to them, and they're like, oh well, that letter looks a little bit different than their letter, do you think you can modify the font?
They're that picky, huh?
Yeah. And I literally, I'm not even kidding, I was sitting here in the same desk that I'm sitting at my desk, and I just wanted to be like, I think I'm just going to refund you your deposit. I can't do this anymore. I've already invested like $600 in material, but I cannot do this.
Just Ron Swanson your computer and take it out to the dumpster and throw it in.
That's definitely how I felt. And then, Dan, going back to the Etsy, we kind of skimmed over it a little bit, but would you say that your market on Etsy has shifted from like normal consumers to like the woodworking community?
It sure feels that way. It sure feels that way. I mean, I really have no proof other than the fact that it just, you know, that's who's got to be buying my products currently. I mean, who else would buy raw bow ties and zero clearance inserts, right?
Someone who wants to wear it as an actual bow tie.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting for that Etsy message. You know, I tried to put this on my husband. We were going to go out to dinner, and it just didn't fit. I'm telling you, it's coming. I'm telling you.
It's like, do you have any Etsy horror stories like that by chance?
Not like that, but I do have one. Yeah.
Dan, are you the guy, before you even say anything, are you the one? I don't think you are. You're not the guy who had a client order a bunk bed on Etsy, are you?
No.
Okay, no. Sorry. All right, I want to hear your horror stories. I need to find out who that person was, though, because they had the most tragic Etsy story where a customer bunk tried to beds rip them off on so Etsy, bad.
Huh?
Yeah, and it was something like they said that like the thing fell apart and the maker was like, okay, like send me pictures.
Oh, and they
like
burnt it.
Is that what, you know what I'm talking about?
Did the client end up burning it so they didn't have any pictures or anything like that?
Yes, that 100%. That is what happened.
We got that same story as a call in on our podcast.
Maybe that's where I heard it then, because I knew it was something that someone
like. Yeah, someone I don't know if that was through Etsy, but yeah, I remember that story. That's a wild one. That's a wild.
I need to look into that. But I would
love don't to ask hear me what things. Episode that was. That was a long time ago.
You guys have a ton. I mean, you guys have been going for how long? Did you say like 2 years now?
A little over 2 years. Yeah. We started in March of 2020. We've only missed a handful of weeks. We record every week. We're on, well, next, this coming Thursday, we'll record episode 116.
Wow. That's pretty sweet. All right. Well, I think on that note, we should probably wrap this puppy up. Dan, I really appreciate you coming on here, man.
Hey, I appreciate you guys asking me to be on here.
Yeah, this was
super pumped.
This is our longest episode yet.
Yay, breaking records.
Yeah, no, but we appreciate you spending all this time and talking about a situation which I'm sure you're tired of talking about, and we appreciate you
actually I'm not
out. I don't know if I was gonna say I don't know if you are.
I am not. I've said this, I don't know if I've said this publicly on my stories yet, but I actually take a lot of entertainment out of this. This has been fun for me.
Okay,
well, this has really helped my mental state. Actually, I've been kind of like the same old grind. I've been down a little mentally, and this has actually helped quite a bit.
So we'll turn this into, you know, we'll change from saying thank you to actually just saying you're welcome for giving you that opportunity to be entertained further.
Hey, you're welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
No,
but thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for spending the time with us and hanging out. So I haven't talked to you in a while. Boys.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a minute.
And lastly, to put the final bow on it, Dan, you can have the floor, promote whatever you would like to, you know, say something you're working on that's exciting or a new product coming out. Just, it's all yours, man.
I'm really bad at promoting myself. I'm all about promoting other people. So I'm digging the whole Jonathan Katz-Moses woodworkers with disabilities thing. So go check that out over at Jonathan Katz-Moses on Instagram, or I think his IG handle for the charity is JKMWWDF.
And we'll definitely put it in the show notes on this one.
We'll look it
up
and include it in the show notes. People can go check it out.
Fantastic. Yeah. Go check that out.
And Dan, I'm not sure if you're familiar with our outro here, but we like to start off by saying thank you everybody so much for listening. We appreciate you, all your questions and Instagram love and everything else that you do for us. And it's about time we peace out of here.
All right. Peace.